Will you turn with me in the Word of God this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, commencing to read at verse 27. Let us now hear the Word of God as we find it before us. After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We will end there, and we know that God will add a blessing to the public reading of his own precious and infallible word. This morning, I want to preach to you on the difference a day makes. On October the 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed his famous 95 Theses on the door of the old castle church in Wittenberg, Germany, and the Protestant Reformation was launched. On December the 7th, 1941, Japanese aircraft attacked Pearl Harbor, wiping out American air units, and as a result, America entered World War II. On September 11, 2001, the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in New York collapsed after a terrorist attack, and hundreds lost their lives. What a difference a day makes. And I want to ask you the question, has there been a day in your past experience that could be described as a day when your life was changed? Can you look back to a day when you trusted Christ for salvation? In the passage before us, we read of an unforgettable day in the life of a man called Levi, when the Lord Jesus Christ came and stopped off at his customs office and saved his precious soul. It is a very important thing to notice what the Lord Jesus Christ said on that occasion. And you will find what he said in verse 32. And I want to use this verse as the basis of my message this morning. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And it is clear from this verse, or from this text, that Jesus came for the benefit of sinners. He came into the world because of their grave spiritual state. He came to do for them that which he alone is able to do. The story clearly illustrates the purpose for which he came. He came to make a difference. What a difference he made in Levi's life. One day Levi was on his way to hell. The next day he was bound for heaven. You may ask why. The answer is simple. Because Jesus came. There are three things I want to draw to your attention this morning from the portion before us. First of all, I want you to notice that Christ came to call sinners. Now, his words infer that he came to call sinners to repentance. Salvation is a calling. And those of us who are saved by the grace of God in this meeting have been called to that wondrous standing just as Levi was many years ago. Romans chapter 8 is a tremendous chapter for God's people to read and to dwell upon. And in the verse 30 we read these words, Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So salvation is a calling. those who have been chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, predestinated to be called the sons of God, have been called to Christ through the preaching of the gospel of God's grace. And this call is a call of grace. The Apostle Paul, writing in the first chapter of the book of Galatians in verse 15, said of his own conversion, God called me by His grace. And each one of us gathered here today in the house of God who have a testimony to give can testify to having heard this call. We have been called by grace to trust Christ for salvation. Why is it a call of grace? It is a call of grace because it does not include any contribution from the sinner. The supposed cooperation of the sinner in the call to salvation robs the gospel of its grace, and that is something we can never do. We can never rob the gospel of its grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, when you give attention to the object of grace in Luke chapter 5, and the object of grace is Levi, you will discover that he did not contribute in any way to his calling. It was all of God's matchless sovereign grace. What makes me say that? Well, when we meet Levi, he was completely engrossed in his work, and he had absolutely no interest in the things of God. And this is vividly underlined in verse 27, where we read these words, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom." After what things? After the things recorded in the previous verses, verses 18 through to 26. They contain a record of the healing of a man with a palsy. And this is an interesting thing to notice, that in each gospel, Levi's conversion is inserted after the healing of this man. And I think it's placed there for this purpose, because it underlines the total indifference of Levi to the things of God. What makes me say that? Well, Levi lived and worked in Capernaum, and the Lord Jesus Christ was in that area. He was ministering there. He was healing there. He was doing great and mighty things. So he was in close proximity to Levi, but Levi was totally disinterested. His soul had no spiritual leaning whatsoever. He was indifferent to the things of God and to all that was going on around him. Christ was working in mighty power, and it did not create any hunger or thirst in Levi's heart to seek after him. He deliberately ignored Christ, and in his heart he rejected him. He rejected his message. He rejected his miracles. He was just too busy. But the truth of the matter is this: Levi was dead in sin, and as a result of that, he had no inclination towards God, nor did he have an inclination towards the gospel. His will, his heart, and his affection, in fact his whole being, was dominated by the flesh, which was under the control of the God of this world. And so, as we look into the face of this man sitting there at his customs booth with all these things going on around about him, we can see that here's a man who's dead in trespasses and in sins, who has no interest in the things of God. He has no desire to be saved. But Christ came to call Levi to himself. Levi was called by the word, for Christ said, "Follow me." And that's the way God still operates today. He uses his word to call sinners to repentance. When he passed by that day, he said, "Follow me." And the next verse shows that he did follow Christ, having been called by the word of God. And this proves that God still uses the preaching of the word to call men to repentance. And sometime you may want to open the word of God at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And this is a wonderful verse to read. and there you will read of how sinners have been chosen to salvation by God's matchless grace. And that's a tremendous thing for the people of God to dwell upon, this matter of being chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. But in the very next verse, verse 14, we see that those who have been chosen to salvation are called to the salvation by the gospel, by the word in which the gospel is revealed. So God has chosen the people before the foundation of the world. How does God call those people to salvation? He calls them through the preaching of the gospel. When Jesus Christ stopped by to call Levi to himself, what did he do? He spoke to him. He called him to follow the Savior. And as a result of that call, Matthew responded. That proves to me that the call was an effectual call, because it brought forth the desired results. Now the Word of God tells me in verse 27, speaking of Christ, it says he went forth. And that reminds me of Matthew 13 and the parable of the sower. And in verse 4 of Matthew chapter 13, we're told, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." And Christ is the sower, and the seed that he sows is the gospel of grace. And the sower went forth and he sowed the seed, and some seed fell among thorns and others fell into stony ground. But thank God there was the good ground, the ground that had been prepared. And when the seed fell into the ground that had been prepared by the farmer, then it brought forth an abundant harvest. And not only is the sower a type of the Lord Jesus Christ sowing the gospel seed, but it is a type and figure of every preacher or teacher who goes forth to sow the good seed of the gospel. Sometimes the seed falls on stony ground, other times it falls among the thorns, but thank God on occasions the seed falls upon ground prepared by the Holy Spirit of God. And when it does, the Spirit of God will take that word, that seed, that gospel seed, and he will bear it in the hearts of those for whom the message has been intended. And in due course, that seed will produce fruit. And the fruit will be manifest in conversion, and that life then will glorify God. And that's the purpose of God in coming to Capernaum to minister to Levi, who sat that day there at his table of occupation. And Christ spoke to him and he said, "Follow me." He was using his word. And we need to use the word of God as we seek to evangelize the lost and seek to win them for the glory of the Savior's name. Levi's heart had been prepared by the grace of God. His heart had been prepared to receive the seed. The voice of God and the word always works in harmony with the work of the Spirit within. So the Spirit was working within this man's heart. And then when the Word of God was sown there, it brought forth an abundant harvest. The Word was applied with the Spirit's power to his heart. The Spirit convicts of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. The Spirit convicts even the people of God of error in their lives, of folly in their lives. And Christ is the one who always does the inviting. He invites sinners to come to him in faith and in repentance. "Come," says the magnet to the steel. "Come," says the sea to the river. "Come," says the Savior to the sinner. And when that call came to Levi, it brought forth a positive response. It was irresistible. And the Word of God tells me that he arose. This was an act of faith. And the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This was in response to Christ's word to him, "Follow me." He came to call sinners to himself. He came to call men to salvation. And when God speaks to his people, and when that word is applied to their hearts by the power of the Spirit of God, it is to produce fruit. The fruit of the Spirit in the hearts and lives of his children who love and serve him. And here was a man who was obedient when the voice of God was heard. And when the voice of God comes to the hearts of God's elect and God's people, may we always respond the way Matthew responded. May we always respond favorably. May we always arise and do what he says unto us. Sometimes we don't. But on this occasion, thankfully, the ground had been prepared by the Spirit. When the word came, the Spirit took the word that was preached, applied it to this man's heart. It brought forth a positive response. He obeyed Christ. He arose and did what Christ wanted him to do. He became a follower. The difference a day makes. Sitting in his sin, with no interest in the things of God, no desire to seek out Christ. And then all of a sudden the Son of God stops by. He's stopping by today. He's got a word for you. He's got a word for me. He had a word for Levi. He spoke to his heart. And when that message was delivered, Levi responded favorably. He arose and followed Christ. So Christ came to call sinners. But then secondly, Christ came to change sinners. In the text, Christ makes it very clear that he came to call sinners to repentance. And that's not a word we often hear used in American pulpits, but this is a word that will be used frequently here from this pulpit. And when you have this word repentance mentioned, it implies faith. Also, for the one cannot exist without the other. And while repentance is only mentioned in verse 32, it's always accompanied by faith, which is shown in verse 28. For it tells us, and he left all, rose up, and followed him. That is faith. That's the exercise of faith. So you'll always find these two things side by side in the Word of God. And this shows me that there was a supernatural change in this man's life, causing a transformation to take place. He was transformed by grace. Now various details indicate that there had been a thorough change of character. He was definitely not the same person as he had always been up to that point of time. When the Lord commanded Levi to follow him, he was effectively teaching that there had to be a forsaking of sin. There had to be a turning from sin. That's why it says he left all, he forsook all, he turned his back on all that he had known, his old past life. And he began to follow Christ anew. And so Christ was effectively teaching that there has to be a forsaking of sin. There has to be a turning from sin. Here's the evidence of genuine repentance. Here is the evidence of a genuine sorrow for sin. This man left all. He forsook it all. And following Christ is essentially repentance because it involves two things. It involves a turning from, and it involves a turning to. A turning from sin, a turning from the past, and a turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Richard Sibbes, writing on this whole matter of repentance, said, "It is evident that our conversion is sound when we loathe and hate sin from the heart." Remember the story of Zacchaeus, who also had been changed by the grace of God. He was wonderfully wrought upon by that free and matchless grace of God. And after his conversion, what did he say to the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, "If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." In other words, he was prepared to put things right. Here's the evidence of true repentance. He was prepared to do whatever was necessary to please God. And that will always be the evidence in the hearts and lives of the people of God. They will be prepared to do whatever God requires of them, irrespective of the cost. And if it means putting things right in their hearts, in our homes, in our lives, so be it. We must do this to experience the peace of God. Maybe the Lord has been dealing with you about a matter. He has been revealing His mind and His will to you concerning this particular thing. God has been directing your thoughts and your attentions towards a certain area in your life. And it needs to be improved upon. There has to be a dying to self in this area. There has to be a crucifying of the old flesh. There has to be a going through with God to experience the blessing of God. You can't get this blessing without paying the price to go through with God, to experience it. And here was a man, he was brought to an end of himself. He was prepared to do anything so that he might have peace. And he was giving evidence to the fact that he had experienced true repentance. John's message to the publicans who came to him to be baptized is also appropriate to introduce here. When they came asking him certain things, he turned to them and he said, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." Luke chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. So there is a clear hint that there was much dishonesty involved in their profession. And Matthew, or Levi, was a publican. So John was teaching these publicans who came with a desire for God's grace and mercy, and he was exhorting them to live a changed life. Exact no more than that which is appointed you. Don't fleece the people. Do what is right. Do the honest thing. Give evidence in your life, in your workplace, of the grace of God. Prove to the world that you have repented of your sins. And there were many dishonest men involved in Levi's profession. He was a tax collector. His business was one of ill repute. Hence the publicans in the Gospels are always linked with the sinners. And these men made their living in a most disreputable fashion. They were robbers, actually, who fleeced the people. Yet in verse 27 we read that Christ saw a publican. What does that suggest to you? Well, Christ saw all his wicked lifestyle, yet he called him in spite of what he saw. And that is our testimony. The Lord knew all about us, our wicked lifestyles, our sinful habits, our wicked ways, and yet, in spite of that, he called us to salvation. And he bestowed his matchless grace and mercy upon us. Levi was changed. There's clear evidence of this. He left all. And I do believe that his forsaking and his following is the evidence of faith. He forsook a lucrative calling for humble fellowship with Christ. Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland, speaking of his conversion to Christ, said, "I was like a stone lying in deep mud, but he that is mighty lifted me up and placed me on top of the wall." And that's where the Lord Jesus Christ found us. He found us lying in deep mud, and by his matchless grace he lifted us up and placed us on top of the wall. He lifted us out and he has exalted us. He's given us a perfect standing in him. It is well with our souls. He saw us in our sin, and yet, thank God, he called us to himself. J.C. Ryle said, the great Bishop of Liverpool, he said, "You will never be happy till you are converted." And I want to ask you this morning this question: have you been converted? Have you been to the cross? Is it well with your soul? Have you been changed by God's matchless grace? I know that you've been called in the gospel, but have you been changed by the gospel? And when Levi made up his mind to follow, it meant total commitment. Now, I was reading just recently, and it's a little story. It's a story of the chicken and the pig walking by the restaurant one morning. And outside was an advert saying that they were putting on a charity with them. They were serving a breakfast of ham and eggs. And the chicken looked at the pig and said, "Why don't we go in and give to the charity?" The pig said, "Not in your life. For you, that would be a contribution. For me, it would be total commitment." And that's exactly what God's servant showed on that occasion. It was total commitment. He obeyed immediately, without any hesitation. He made no excuses. He put the pen in his pocket. He closed the door of the toll booth. He closed his books and he walked away, never to return to that location again. This is the change wrought by grace in his life. He literally left all that they had. He was going to walk with Christ. Physically speaking, he lost all. Spiritually speaking, he lost nothing. because he changed his earthly riches for heavenly wealth. He traded the temporal for the eternal. He left the lowest to gain the highest. He rejected hell in favor of heaven. Now, when the prodigal came home, and we can learn many lessons from the story of the prodigal, when he came home, what did he have to give up? What did he have to give up to obtain the favor of his father? He gave up his hunger. He gave up his loneliness. He gave up these things that had degraded him. And thank God, when he returned home, what happened? The father was there to receive him, and he bestowed upon him the garment. He put the shoes on his feet. He put the ring on his finger. He prepared the fatted calf. So what had the prodigal to give up? All that was destroying him, all that was ruining him, all that was pulling him down, what did he receive? He received tokens of God's mercy and goodness and grace. And that's what God does in grace. Levi became a new creature. Do you remember the words in the resurrection narrative of the Son of God? Remember the words that were spoken in Luke 24 and verse 5 to those who came to the tomb seeking Christ? The angels asked the question, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" It was futile to seek for Christ among the dead. For once the spirit returned to the body, he vacated the tomb. He did not belong there anymore, for as the living one, he would not reside where death was. And the same is true of those who are joined to Christ. They will find that the various environments that they used to identify with are now incompatible with a new life. The world system, for example, is corrupt and evil. It has the stench of death about it, being one vast tomb of corruption and depravity. But to those who are quickened by the grace of God, it has nothing to offer. Its pleasures are empty, its ways are deceitful, and its entertainment is repulsive. The world has no longer any appeal to the children of God who have been changed by God's matchless grace. They find that all of these things that I've mentioned grieve the Spirit of God, and they must get away from that. But where will they be found? Where will you find the people of God? Well, where Christ was found on that day when he arose, he was found among the people of God. He fellowshiped with his people. And by such appearances he showed himself alive. And those who are spiritually alive will resemble Christ in this also. They will manifest the new life as he did, leaving the tombs to sit among the people of God. Search for the child of God, or where will you find him? You will find him in the prayer meeting. You will find him listening to the ministry and the teaching of the Word of God. Is this true of you? As evidence of your new life in Christ, as evidence that you have been brought out of the grave of sin. Is this true of you? Are you found in the house of God, attending to the ministry of God's word? Are you found meeting with the people of God around the throne of heavenly grace? Do you profess to be risen with Christ? Then today seek those things which are above, and not the things of the earth. Seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. So Christ came to call sinners to salvation. Christ came to change sinners. And then finally, Christ came to commission sinners. We're told here that Jesus sat at meat in his house. A tremendous change had taken place in Levi's life. And as proof of his love for Christ, he opened his house and invited Christ into the home. But it didn't end there. He also invited in the people of God, the Lord's disciples. And then he also invited in his former acquaintances. He was now harnessed for the work. He was now under the yoke of Christ. Levi had his heart opened by the Lord. And that is a supernatural work. But now he actually opened his house to the Lord. Before his conversion, he only thought of himself. Before meeting with Christ, he only lived for himself. But now he has got a concern for others. Don't you see this? Here we see this man fulfilling the commission of Christ. For Christ changed him in order to use him, to commission him in the service of God. And it says he made him a great feast. That word feast is from the Greek root, which means to receive. It was actually more than a feast. It was a reception. It was a social gathering for the purpose of welcoming Jesus into his home. And surely this suggests fellowship and communion. These things always follow obedience. So he desired Christ to be in his house. Do we entertain Jesus in our homes? Do we enjoy fellowship and communion with him? Luke describes this feast as a great feast. And that's very suggestive because it teaches me that Christ must have the best. Matthew, in true humility, he omits the fact that it was a great feast. In fact, in giving his testimony, he gives his testimony in one short verse, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. What does that indicate to you? It indicates to me the humility of this man who became one of the Lord's most trusted followers. He did not make a show of what he did in the Lord's service. And to this feast he invited many publicans and sinners. And that speaks of his generosity. Whatever he had, he wanted to use it for the furtherance of the gospel. And he used this banquet to get his former acquaintances and associates under the gospel. This was his first missionary endeavor. He may have given his testimony. I don't know. We're not told about that. Perhaps it was a farewell supper, just to say farewell. But as we think of this incident in Levi's life, he's showing his love. He's serving his Lord. And he's seeking the lost. He describes himself in his own gospel as Matthew the publican. He never forgot what he had been. But Mark, writing of his brother in Christ, kindly omits this once despised epitaph of publican. And I thought about that for a while. And I have come to the conclusion that it is so easy to highlight bad things about people, but it is so refreshing to see brotherly love in operation. He didn't call him a publican. He didn't refer to this aspect of his past life, but Matthew does. He never forgot what he had been in his sinful days, and he rejoiced what he was now in Christ. Levi was his old name, and Levi means joined. He had been joined to his sinful past, his sinful lifestyle. But Matthew means the gift of God, and as a result of the gift of God, he was made new. Not only was he given a new nature, but he was given a new name. And his name means the gift of God. As a former tax collector, he could use his pen. And when he left the tax collector's table behind, he took the pen with him. And he became the first man to present to the world an account of the teaching of Christ. And we can never overestimate the debt we owe to this once despised man. He took an interest in Christ's Sermon on the Mount and his parables on the discourses of the Lord, and he wrote it all down and he preserved it for posterity. And how often have we been refreshed by reading through Matthew's Gospel. His book is an important bridge between the Old and New Testaments. Stands at the beginning of the New Testament. The theme of the Old Testament is what? The generations of Adam. The theme of the New Testament, the generations of Jesus Christ. The Old ends with a curse. The New Testament begins with a blessing. What does Matthew write? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. It begins with the announcement and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he quickly gets his readers to Christ. Here is a man who has been commissioned by grace to write about Christ. The Lord took Paul's intellect and use it for his glory. The Lord took the consolation or the compassion found in the heart of Barnabas and he used it for the glory of his name. And he took Levi's pen and he used that for the furtherance of the gospel. These were talents that God had given to these individuals. And God took the talent he had lodged or deposited there and he used it for the furtherance of his glory. Now, I don't know what talent you have, but God has given you talents. He's given you certain abilities, certain features and characteristics. Don't be like the man who took the money in the parable and buried it, but go out and trade with it. Use the talent the Lord has given to you. Win the lost for Christ. Evangelize. Get them to the cross. And I do believe that Matthew or Levi's banquet was used to invite sinners to the Savior, and his book was used to introduce the Savior to sinners. What a blessed balance, what a blessed combination, the banquet and the book. And he became the first man to write down the teachings of Christ. He became a missionary of the gospel and a hero of the faith. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. once said, "It is a sin to do less than your best." And C.T. Studd, who went to China as a missionary to preach the glorious gospel of grace, said, "Some want to live within sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell." So Levi has been called by grace. He has been changed by grace. And he has been commissioned by grace. He responds favorably to the call. And immediately he seeks to evangelize the lost, his former acquaintances. And the only way that he can do that is to open this house and invite them in. And there, as they come, Christ is there to greet them. And we know not what the outcome of that meeting was. Maybe some of his other acquaintances trusted Christ for salvation. Who can tell? But there's one thing I do know, that the word that he speaks and preaches always brings forth fruit. And as we go forward in Jesus' name, sowing this good seed, we can expect a harvest. We can look for a harvest. We can look to the Lord to bless our labors, as he blessed the labors of Levi. May we be encouraged this morning. And if there's never been a time in your experience when you have been changed by grace, may this prove to be the day that will make the difference in your life. Christ is here. He stopped off to call you to himself. Will you be like Levi? Will you respond? Will you begin to follow today? Will you trust him for salvation? May the Lord in his grace bless his truth for Christ's sake.